Kadosh. Remember, remember, Adonai Eloheinu.
Welcome to Romamu, an open-hearted Jewish community and house of worship, learning, and spiritual growth. You're listening to Romamu's podcast, where we share words of Torah, insights, and inspiration from Romamu clergy. Thank you for being with us.
But first, I want to say that poor Moshe, in the book of Malachi, at the end of the Tanakh, of the Bible, it says, Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi, the Torah of Moshe is named, the Torah is named Moshe's Torah. So he gets credit, right? And certainly, if you ask anybody, you know, did Moshe, you know, has a good byline. He negotiated well for his adequate recognition as the one who received Torah. But poor Moshe, he doesn't have a parsha named for him. To have a Torah portion named after you, it's a very prestigious thing. Like an Emmy or a Grammy. It's like you can go around saying they named one of the Torah's 50-something parshiyot, they're named after me. It's a very prestigious honor. It's very unique. Sarah, Chayesara, Noach, right? Here it's, this week's Torah portion is named after, not only is it not named after Moshe, and just to give you an insight into how important this week's Torah portion is and how it's so connected to Moses, the Torah portion begins in chapter 18, but in chapter 19 of the book of Exodus, the entire Israelite people coming to the purpose of their exodus from Egypt, they come to Mount Sinai, the mythic place of revelation where the instructions, the operating system for how to be a good, to how to be a Jew, to how to be a human being, a moral human being, well, that's where it happens, on that Mount Sinai. And who is, of course, the one who leads us to Mount Sinai? Who's the one that prepares us for Mount Sinai? Who's the one that goes up Mount Sinai? It's Moshe. So one would have thought that the portion of Revelation, at least that portion, maybe he doesn't get into the other ones, but this is the big moment. It didn't have to be written into Moshe's contract at the burning bush. This is the moment where I get the portion is named after me. I mean, I'm the one who goes up. And not only is it not named for Moshe, but who is it named for? His father-in-law. It's a remarkable moment of humor. I mean, it's just like irony. His father-in-law. Okay. It's about Sinai. That's the most important moment of the Parsha. Everything is leading to there. Everything else is just a preamble. What could possibly have been so important about Jethro as a character, Gitro? The necessary arrival of Jethro. In a moment, I'll tell you how he arrives into this momentous occasion. Because what he does unsettles our tidy narratives about who is a recipient and who deserves to be elevated and what courage really means. Chapter 18 of Exodus, after the Israelites have been through the Red Sea, they come out on the other side and there's a war with Amalek. And the Jewish people, the Israelites, are victorious at the end of last week's Torah portion, chapter 17. And we're ready now. We made it through the horrors of Egypt. We made it through the uncertainty. We made it through the pain and the suffering. We sang a song. We kvetched about water. We fought. And so, okay, we did all of this to arrive at Mount Sinai. But before we get there, the Torah just lengthens our tension. Chapter 18 should begin with, and they arrived at Sinai, and now they're ready. But it doesn't. Vayishma Yisro Chot Kohen Minyan Chosen Moshe Eskol Asher Asah Hashem LaMoshe LiYisrael Amo. And Jethro, Yitro heard, Shema, all of the things that God had done for Moses and for Israel, God's nation, and then he left. He left, he heard these things and came. Presumably he came for the reasons about to be mentioned. He came to bring Zipporah and his daughter Zipporah, Moshe's wife, and her two children, their two children, her two children. The rabbis are fascinated by this sentence that Yitro heard something and then he came. Why did Yitro have to hear something and come? He could have just come because he had to drop off the kids. He was the grandfather. He was taking care of the kids. You know, Glenn is and Naomi's out and, you know, somebody has to watch over. What do you mean? That's why he came. He came to drop off his grandchildren. Then he's going to go home. I'll see you, Moshe. I got to go back. I'm the high priest of Midian. I'll see you soon. Drop by on Sunday afternoons after, you know, brunch. So the rabbis say, Ma shmua shama uva. What was it that he heard and brought him? What did he hear that made him come? Now, of course, we know what he heard. The text actually tells us what he heard. He heard about all the miracles. But the rabbis are more interested in not what he heard, but that he heard something and he did something. Say the rabbis, many, many others heard what he heard. And what was unique about Jethro was that he heard and it inspired him to come to seek out what his son-in-law was up to. He wasn't just dropping off the kids dutifully because of his relationship with Moshe. Yitro had another identity. He was a high priest, as we're told. He was a seeker. As the text will tell us, he said later on, now I know that this God is the most powerful one because I've tried them all. I'm a seeker. I want to know the truth. I'm not stuck in my ways. I might have on my resume that I'm the high priest of Midian, but I'm open to hearing about this because it's intriguing me. It's unsettled me. It's perturbed me. I'm open to being impressed. From here, the rabbis say something remarkable. They say that Yeto really is the first ger, the first convert, which of course is problematic because there are a lot of other converts, and Abraham made converts before. The rabbis are very confused about the whole thing. But Jethro becomes like the paradigmatic convert, the one who is willing to be impressed, the one who is willing to change their worldview and adopt another worldview, the one who leaves room for their own impressionability. They can be impressed upon. They can hear something that makes them think, oh, you know, I'm used to listening to only this podcast. This is on my list. I only listen to these people. Do we live in a world of people who are hearing things and are curious about what they hear? Do we live in a world right now of Jethros who identify as one thing and hear something completely different and trust because his son-in-law says, okay, you know what? I'm going to make the journey. The rabbis say he made the journey. He was living, the rabbis say, in the lap of luxury. He could have sent servants. The Torah has examples of very wealthy, accomplished people. He'd have to go by himself. He probably would have seen Moses a couple of days later. But it was something about the revelation. He had to come before the revelation because he didn't want to miss it. And you know how the Torah rewards Jethro, say the rabbis? His name means Yeter. It's another one of his names, Yeter. The Torah said, we're going to add a parsha, a chapter. And in that chapter, you know what Jethro does as soon as he shows up with Moshe? After they've kissed and hugged and asked each other for peace, Jethro proceeds to give him advice. And the Torah records Jethro's advice. He looks at his son-in-law and he says to him, you can't keep going on like this. This is nuts. You're gonna burn out. You're the only one who's doing all these things. You have to create a delegation. You have to sustainability. You have to offload the things that you shouldn't be doing that other people should be doing. And guess what? The very first word after Jethro gives the advice and Moses has been sitting there passively listening to his father-in-law, what's the Torah say? Vayishma Moshe, the kol chotno. The listening of his father-in-law, Vayishma Yitro, becomes the listening of his son-in-law. And the Torah records that conversation. The one who came with curiosity to hear someone else's Torah becomes themselves the font of Torah. And the Torah records it and gives him his name and not his son-in-law, who will, of course, be so important. But you know, before revelation at Sinai, you know what there was? Revelation at Jethro, the non-Jew who taught Moses Torah. And the Torah goes out of its way to forever enshrine the name of that curious, open-minded, not stuck in his ways, loving father-in-law as the Torah that preceded the Torah. Is that good? Man, I tell you something, I want to be like that Yitro. So a lot of people say, like, we got to be like Moshe. I want to be like Yitro. I want to be that kind of person who hears something and not just hear it, but also is moved by it enough to leave my certainties, to leave my stance, to rethink what I thought, to put it all on the table. It's not just that he listened. He listened and he came. Ma shemua shama uva. You just hear it. A lot of people hear it and they go, I'll put it on my list. I said, no, I'm going to go check that out. It's just a remarkable quality. I think about so many people in Romamu who heard about this crazy place. And they put it back and, they said, I'll come one day. They came, they checked it out. They go to another place. Someone says, hey, this is interesting. No, I think I know it. I said, no, I... They go, how remarkable should we treat converts in the Jewish tradition? I didn't convert. I'm still stuck in the same old Judaism that I learned from my dad and my mom. And the truth is, it's unlikely that, I've been curious about a lot of religions, but I'm still a Jew. But someone who says, you know what? I want to join you. I want to be a Yeter, a Yitro, a Rus. Wow. How much respect should we have for a person like that? How much should elevate them? A person who had a worldview about another group of people, and then all of a sudden they learned that they were wrong. Amazing grace, how sweet it is, I see the light. These moments are precious moments. So yeah, Yitro gets himself a little parsha. No small thing. And thank God he did. I don't think Moshe was bothered by it at all. May God bless all of us. Bless me, God, and all of us here. Leave a little bit of room in the way that we interact with one another. A little bit of room to be students, no matter how accomplished we become, no matter how bright we are and how many articles we've read. No matter how certain we are of our truth, leave a little bit of room for epistemological, heart-based, I don't know. What if I try it on? May God bless us with that yeter, with that extra space in our hearts, so that as we write the parsha of our lives, it's influenced by that same quality of listening and then moving towards.
Thank you for listening. Want more content like this? Subscribe to our podcast and visit romamu.org to learn more about us. please consider making a contribution to Romamu so we can continue to fulfill our mission to help spiritual seekers deepen their connection to Jewish wisdom and practice to help them become more compassionate human beings. We hope to see you in the synagogue or the Zoomagogue soon. Romamu, Romamu, Adonai.